Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, August 8th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 98, the third paragraph, beginning with the last line on the page. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do. Reading through five sentences, concluding the paragraph with discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. So we're reading and commenting on these five sentences only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., readers of the text, Kara L., Dana P., and Deb E. The reference number for Monday, August 7th, is 20,511. That's 20511. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,514. That's 20514. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And Dawn, thank you for your service and everybody on the line. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. If somebody is unmuted, you need to hit star 1 to mute your phone. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 98, the bottom of the page there, the third paragraph, beginning with the last sentence on the page. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do. Reading through 5 sentences, concluding the paragraph with, discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. We're going to be reading and commenting on those 5 sentences today. I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Good morning, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on the man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit to them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And what we're referring to is earlier in the paragraph, he should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. And so what the next part of this paragraph is telling me is that, you know, the first thing it says, this is difficult to do. And I will tell you, this is the hardest thing I have, because how I used to feel good about myself is by finding fault in others, and particularly the ones I lived with most. It's your fault this is happening. If you would only change. Today, you know, I'm working diligently at seeing, you know, where do I fall short? And where am I using this character defect of making it your problem? And how I do that is I working these steps and working with my higher power to help point that out. More and more, I'm finding that I have set certain indicators that I feel like if this happens, I'm okay. And more, I'm seeing that my indicators and myself are busy and manipulative and directive. And when I'm working these steps and I'm with my higher power's indicators are easy and they flow like a river. And life happens as it just happens. And so I know today, even though I really, really want it to be my husband's fault, I don't have that privilege. You know, I have to concentrate on my own spiritual. And I love the promise at the end of this. It says, little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit to them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. I will tell you, I never discussed anything in the past in helpfulness and friendliness. It was always blaming. And today, you know, being able to communicate and being able to, you know, and I don't do it perfect, and I actually fall down about a lot, you know, but I do see that there's a different way to do it today. And that's what I work towards, you know, in with my higher power. It's like, how can I do this different today? And maybe create an atmosphere of helplessness and friendliness. That seems like a really amazing thing that I didn't know was possible. So I'm grateful today. And with that, I pass and I look forward to hearing from everybody else. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I will now take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Francesca.
Was that Davelin E?
Yes.
Okay, and there, who is the other voice?
Francesca M.
Francesca M.
Cheryl S.
Deb E.
Cheryl S. And Deb E. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with that lineup. I have Davelin E., Francesca M., Cheryl S., and Deb E. Davelin E., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Davelin E. calling from Manitoba, Canada. Thank you very much for your service. I was just listening to this line and realizing over and over again that blaming and shaming has always been my way. And of course, what I blame and shame about is the big light coming on for me is everything that I've always done. And those are the things that make me angry about everyone else. And what God has given me recently is the realization that these are all human behaviors and human imperfections. And if I can accept and love other people with these human imperfections, seeing all the beautiful things about them, then I can maybe forgive myself for not being perfect myself. And that's where my blaming and shaming comes from, is my humiliation at not being perfect myself, at having all these negative behaviors. And they're just human behaviors. And so as I learn that these are human behaviors and I'm allowed to have them too, and they are, I can forgive everyone and I don't need to blame and shame anymore. And I don't need to blame and shame myself anymore either. And that's such a gift from God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Davelin E. from Canada. Francesca M., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S.
Thank you so much for your service, Francesca M., compulsive overeater, living in a recovered state just for today. Calling from Houston, Texas this morning, visiting some family. So these past few days have been very helpful. I really appreciated the first two shares, and this just reminds me that if I think that I'm right, like, then I need to question that. I've heard people say, like, you can be right or you can be happy. This argument and fault finding must be avoided like the plague. Like, it just, once again, just like, if I think, like, no, like, they must be wrong, then it's like, I'm playing God. I'm in my human will. And also, you know, this thing about, like, they're more likely to admit as well. When I humble myself and look for my part, that's when someone's more likely to be like, oh, you know what? Like, I did this too, because I'm creating a healthy environment and inviting in my higher power, inviting in grace and love. And yeah, just this reminder of this, like, shame of, like, should have already mastered everything, and that we're just humans, humbly understanding mistakes are necessary, is an acronym I like for that. And also, I just, like, with my family, you know, it's just, I need to see too that, like, I have a blind spot with my family. I get enraged. Like, there are things that my mom does that if someone else did, like a fellow or just anyone else, I would be like, oh, you know, that's okay. But if my mom does them, it's like suddenly I just, you know, am zeroing in on her. And, you know, they say, like, why look at the log in your brother's eye without seeing the splinter in yours? Oh, wait, never mind, the opposite. Or, like, you know, when there's one finger pointing at you, there's three fingers pointing at. And I just remember just I was gotten this slight argument with this woman on the train once. And then after a minute, I was like, you know, I'm sorry. I was like, I'm tired. I just got off of work, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I'm sorry too. Like, it's just amazing that when we're able to, you know, have some humility and just sort of recognize, at least for me, that, like, my human emotions sometimes just get the best of me, but especially with my family. And I don't have the luxury, because I will eat. You know, it's not if I eat, I will eat. If I have that buildup of human emotions, if I let resentments go, sort of get the better of me, it'll just build up and bubble up and I won't be able to handle it. But that's the thing, I was never supposed to be able to handle it. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you, everyone, for making this meeting possible. And I pass.
Thank you, Francesca M., calling from Texas. Cheryl S., please share with us, followed by Deb E.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, gratefully recovered today. And what this paragraph makes me think about is, for years, I discovered a phrase, and it was, you might be right. And for years, I used that phrase basically to avoid arguments. You know, it was a good way to stop an argument. And I will never forget the day that I said it. And I was like, it was like I was hit by a lightning bolt. And I was like, oh my gosh, you might be right. And from that moment on, you know, things changed for me. It was like the scales dropped away from my eyes, like Bill talks about in his story, and that other people might be right. And I didn't even realize that I was so myopic in my thinking and always thinking that I was right. But I realized that day that, you know, there's two sides to everything. And a lot of times, nobody's right. And a lot of times, both people are right. And just letting go, for me, just letting go and letting God in those moments and trying to see the other person's point of view, just like it says in the St. Francis prayer, you know, I pray to be understood, to understand before being understood. And that's changed so much for me. And this recovery that I have that is based on going through the big book and really following the steps in the big book this time I have come to see where it talks about, and the family will change too. And I've been married almost 40 years and been in recovery programs for probably 30 of those 40 years. And it wasn't until this past year that through working the steps and really bringing that into my life, especially not being the director and not causing people to want to retaliate against me. My family and my relationship with my family has changed. I don't know if it's my family that's changed. I think it's all of us. You know, we just have a whole different dynamic because I don't play the director. I don't do things that cause people want to retaliate against me. And I think to myself, you might be right. And I look for ways that they are right instead of pushing my point and being right down their throats. And I can just say for me, it is such a more beautiful, peaceful, serene way to live. And I am so grateful and thankful. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. If you're just joining us, we are on page 98, and we're talking about the last part of the paragraph there, way at the bottom of page 98, beginning with, "In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do." And we're reading through five sentences, concluding the paragraph with disgust and in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. So Deb E., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. This is a great passage to be thinking about today. I blamed so much, and I didn't even realize it. It's only become more apparent more recently, you know, even though I've been working with steps for many years. In some situations, it's easy to see, and in others, one in particular, I blamed my husband for something for 20 years, having zero idea that I was to blame. There was a little part that he was responsible for, but it was mostly a lot of my old baggage, and I had no idea. Like, I really didn't know, and so that's what would make the blaming even worse, that I was so convinced. You know, I've talked about honesty in this way where, like, I didn't even know I was lying. And that's where being willing to really go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with this work has revealed so much. Like, if I just stayed on the surface and just, you know, kind of hung on to my first round of working the steps, I'd be nowhere near where I am today. I feel like there's just so much more that I've uncovered because the more, like, just willing, as much willingness as I had in the beginning to get a start, more and more willingness I find comes the more I practice this, because I see, like, the more I can build on this experience of being shown over and over again that my higher power is, like, really has my back and is showing me the way, more than when something is brought up to me, I'm like, oh, I recognize this for what it is. It's not, someone's not, but I can take my ego out of it and go, this just means I need to do more work. This means I'm ready for the next level of spiritual growth. And I've seen the change with the people around me, thankfully mostly with my children. I'll say things like, you know, I'll catch myself and go, like, at one point when they were really little, I used to get frustrated that we weren't getting out the door fast enough for school. I'd be like, well, if you hadn't done this, and then I caught myself one day, I was like, what am I doing? And I told them, I'm like, this has nothing to do with you, even though, I mean, they were also doing their part, but that didn't matter. What mattered was that I wasn't owning my part, and that I was trying to blame them. And then I would say things, and they were used to hearing me say things like, this has nothing to do with you. This is all my fault. I'm trying to change it, or I'm trying to do this. And I have one of my older sons who will say, like, if he, like, loses his temper or something, he almost always comes back after and says, like, that wasn't about you, I'm sorry, and, like, explains his behavior. And thank you, I'll just close with this. And that's, like, as many amazing gifts as there are in the program, just for me personally, seeing stuff like that, I'm even more grateful for. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Linda C.
Linda C.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Sharon E.
Margaret O.
Sharon E. and Margaret O. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Let's go with that lineup. Linda C., Tamara C., Sharon E., and Margaret O. Linda C., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Linda C. from California. And boy, does this sentence ever ring home to me. You know, I was taking care of my sister recently, and we're both really strong, independent women, both in program, and she had had surgery. She did something that I just knew was wrong and was going to hurt her, but she did it because she was so desperate to do anything for herself. Boy, did I lash out at her. And I mean, and we don't fight. And really hurt her feelings. And thank God for the program, because we both went our separate ways and reflected on whatever. And for me, it was really hard for me to see my part, because I was so right that she was going to hurt herself and I'm there to take care of her. And but thank God for the program, because I did see the part that, you know, what my part was. And I came back later. It took us a long time to come back, about 4 or 5 hours. But I did come back, and I apologized to her for, you know, lashing out at her. And it really hurt her. And what I came to find about myself by doing that, I was terrified. I was so afraid that she was going to hurt herself. She was just desperate to do anything for herself. And we came to making amends to each other and loving each other stronger. And I think one of the biggest things that this little paragraph has taught me, I want to preserve my relationships today, where before I had to win, I had to be right at anybody's cost, and people would get kicked out of my life. But today, if I take a step and a breath and look at my side, I can come back and preserve a relationship and even make it better. And I'm so grateful for this program. And I'm so glad my sister's in program, because we've helped each other a lot. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda C. from California. Tamara C., please share with us, followed by Sharon E.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be recovered in Missouri. I love the idea of having these promises in my relationship that I can be in relationships that are more compatible, and I can be in my relationships. It can be a safe place for all of us to be real, just to be honest, to be human. And in my relationships, I can have this attitude of helpfulness and friendliness. This just sounds so much better than my old way of needing people to be a certain way so that I can be okay, and trying to control and manage and judge and blame, and not being able to look at my own mistakes and selfishness and fear, because I thought that was unacceptable. And so how can I get to these promises? I persist. I learn to persist in practicing this, concentrating on my own spiritual demonstration. My own spiritual demonstration, practicing turning to my higher power repeatedly all through the day, when I first wake up, or reaching out, using these prayers in the big book and other prayers, the third step, the seventh step, the 11th step, and the fourth step prayers of the sick man's prayer, the fear prayer, asking for help making amends, especially also asking for help developing my relationship ideals and helping me grow toward them. So all of this going through the steps helps me concentrate on my spiritual demonstration, and especially looking at what's in me that's the problem, and discussing it with my sponsor and being willing to just keep uncovering as I grow day by day, doing 10 steps and nightly reviews, and then working with others. And I learned so much from that experience too about who I am in relationships, and I get to practice these new ideals as I work with sponsees, and then carry that into my relationship with my spouse, with my family, my students, my neighbors, my friends. And so I'm just really grateful. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Sharon E., please share with us, followed by Margaret O., and then I'll be taking some more names. Just a quick reminder, we are on page 98, the third paragraph, all the way at the bottom of the page there, starting with, in many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, reading through and commenting on those five sentences, ending with, discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. Sharon E., please share with us.
Hi, thank you for your service. This is Sharon E. from Ohio. Very, very grateful to be recovered today. I liked what a lot of people are saying on here. I've been taking notes. I do that pretty much at most meetings. But I really liked what was being said about saying you might be right. That's something that I've been trying to do as well. And the last person just was talking about the prayers. They are so helpful, really. And I love it. And also that the sponsor is helpful. Yes, my sponsor sees when I give her an issue, a family issue, she's quick to point out my defects. And while I hate it and it hurts, it's very helpful because then I figure out what I'm doing wrong, because the family can see their defects if I'm friendly and helpful. But I have to be friendly and helpful. I can't expect anybody else to see their own defects if I don't also first see mine. You know, I've found that my getting healthier emotionally has helped me be more able to give up the control, which is for me the biggest thing, fear and control, and be helpful rather than blaming. And last night I went to my usual Monday night meeting in person, and we did the step 8 reading in the OA 12 and 12, which I absolutely love. If you don't have one, you should get one. One of the things that was said was being the perfect person is what I tried to be. So if I'm at fault, it's hard to admit because I'm perfect. How can I be at fault? But as soon as we admit that we're at fault, others can see that that's not such a horrible thing in us anymore, and we begin to show a pattern of, like it says in this paragraph, helpfulness, because now we're helping by being less controlling. Amazingly, that is actually helpful. So that's really all I have to say today. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. Margaret O., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi there. This is Margaret O. from Stamford, Connecticut. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and thank you for leading the meeting for your service. So this is a great paragraph. It's part of one. It really speaks to me with regard to my family. I call it my family of origin, relationships. I don't have a husband. I have a couple of ex-husbands, and I don't have any children. So I just relocated 3 years ago to be on the East Coast instead of the West Coast, having retired, and so I'm close to my family of origin. And now I know why I lived so far away, because even though I'm 66, all the old dynamics come up, and it's really my work. You know, I've got to look at my part and see how I'm impacting others, and this is just a great reading today. I love this. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. So one sibling in particular, we've been like oil and water all of our lives, and we're just 14 months apart. I'm younger than she, and it's so hard to be with her because we are incompatible. You know, she's very thick-skinned, I'm very sensitive, and that's just been the way we've interacted all through our lives. And I find I have to set limits with her. I have my guard up because I'm uncomfortable. She's very direct, and she can be critical and so forth, not to take her inventory. But one of my character defects is being overly sensitive and overreacting emotionally to things. But the most incompatible people, you know. I guess my family knows I'm in program. They don't know a whole lot about it. I've been in program for 25 years, but I've lived far away, just visiting a couple times a year. So they know more now that I've been here for 3 years. I bring it up, it comes up more often because there's family gatherings and so forth. But this atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness, if I can keep that in the forefront of my mind, because what, unfortunately, the old brain, like the primal response is, as someone else said earlier, the humiliation of not being perfect. So all that guardedness, because I am sensitive, I've been really guarded with people to avoid hurt. And part of that is the perfectionism. That's where that comes from. It's a coping mechanism for having, you know, wounds that I didn't know how to cope with. And I figured, okay, the way to avoid those wounds is to fly under the radar and just be perfect, put on a persona. And, you know, with that comes pride and also a lack of intimacy. So I find I'm very comfortable isolating, which is definitely a characteristic of this disease.
Time?
Yeah. So is that my time?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for letting
me. Oh, thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. And I'd now like to take some names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Joanne L.
Joanne L.
Donna B.
Donna B. And I'd take two more names. Press star one if you want to share. Okay, in the interest of time, we'll go ahead and take Joanne L., with followed by Donna B., and then I'll take some more names. Go ahead, Joanne.
Oh, thanks, Don. Thank you very much. It's a great meeting, and I love, love, love what everybody had to share. So this is what I would like to share. I'm single. I've been single all my life. I'm 68. My family lives in Massachusetts. I'm in Rhode Island. Alone in Rhode Island. My family's from Cape Cod to Rhode Island, to Massachusetts. So here's the thing. I still have to talk to my family. You know, thank God. You know, I do have a family that I do relate to and talk to. But I do have a sister who triggers me. And I just know when she's going to push my buttons. And the minute she pushes my buttons, I just want to hang up the phone. I just want to go click and hang up. And I have to tell you, that has gotten me absolutely, positively nowhere. Because I am the one who's in program. Now, they don't have a program. I'm the one with the program. And I've been in program for almost 30 years, recovered from another substance for 30 years. And so if I were to hang up on her and get mad, of course, I would have to call, make amends. I'd have to do a 10th step, you know, continue to take personal inventory and tell somebody all about it, then call, then say I'm sorry to her or make amends to her. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to keep doing that because it's not going to get us anywhere. So I keep on remembering what one of my sponsors said to me. I'll never forget it. She was from New York, and I just loved her. And she said, Joanne, keep your mouth shut. Keep it shut. And I will never forget those words. They were as loud as could be. And so she's right. So now if something's going to trigger me, I just remember those words. Keep your mouth shut. You know, then I pray. You know, sometimes I just stand there and I just bless myself. I'll say, God, you know, let me end this in a friendly phone conversation, because they don't know better. They really don't. And so that's not going to get me anywhere if I don't have my family. So I just want to say, you know, this is spirituality. I pray and pray and pray about my family. Same thing with nieces and nephews. You know, I have other sister and another sister and another brother. And, you know, at any given time, you know, can end up in an argument, but I try not to ever go there if I can help it. And when I do, I have to take a look at myself. Did I stop the ball rolling? See, you know that finger that you point? Well, three comes back to you. So that's what I always have to look at. So that's it. That's all I need to share. And I thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. Donna B., please share with us. Then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. And I've had a pretty amazing experience this summer. My son is almost 13 years old, and he's been at an overnight camp for about 6 weeks. There was one session that was 3 weeks, and he was home for a few days, and then another session where he was home for 3 weeks. He was away for 3 weeks. And he got in trouble a few times. And by the end of camp, historically, I've let the adults in the situation be the compass, whether those are teachers or counselors or, you know, whatever the situation is. And I think there's been a sense of, if I have to trust someone, I'll trust the adults, and I'll follow their direction, and I'll issue some sort of punishment or consequence for my son's behavior. But as the summer went on, I began to see my son differently. And by the last time he got in trouble, he said to me, I need you to believe me. I need to know you believe me. I need to know that you love me. And I was able to say to him that my confidence in the feedback that I've been getting from the counselors and the directors has been eroded, and that I do believe him 100%, and that I will always stand by him, and I will always look for the truth in what he's saying. And that altered our relationship almost instantaneously. When I picked him up from camp at the end of the second 3 weeks, he introduced me to all of his friends. He was so excited that I was there. He was proud of me. It was just such a notable difference that when he felt that I was on his side, you know, seeing him, hearing him, advocating for him, he wants to have a relationship with me. And it's just amazing, really, truly amazing. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So do we have a couple people who would like a two-minute share?
Robin P.
Robin P.
Barbara A., California.
And Barbara A. Okay, Robin P., go ahead with your 2 minutes, please.
Thank you very much. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater and currently in Asheville, North Carolina. And, you know, I was thinking about my family and how I grew up in so much child abuse and so much shame, and how I've really gotten to work through that in this program. And I have really nothing in common with my family, and I still love them and have a relationship with them because of the steps and because of this program and because of my God squad, my God family here. I can have a family with them with boundaries. And, you know, I'm a we're gluten-free vegans, my husband and myself. None of my family is anything close to that. We literally have, you know, we don't believe the same things they believe. I'm the only Christian in my family. There's so many things that we just have nothing. I'm sensitive to electromagnetic field radiation. They are not. It's just thing after thing. And yet I just get to love them, be happy, not focus on being right. It doesn't, I just get to love them right where they are, doing the things that they do. And, you know, I am a sensitive person, so I just get to sometimes just, oh my gosh, they just killed that animal that way. Oh no, you know, and sometimes then I have to go do a 10th step on it and just let go and let God, because I just get to focus on God and be of service to God and my fellows and be who I'm meant to be. And not, and I always remember, you know, there's my will, my business, God's business, and none of my business. And when I'm in none of my business and God's business, it hurts, and I have to go work the steps. And when I just stay in my business, I am good. God bless everybody with a really blessed afternoon day. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin P. Barbara A., please share with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. So grateful to be in recovery today and to be on this meeting. This program has taught me exactly what people are sharing today, that I would rather be happy than be right. And I related so much to what everyone says about always having to argue. I especially remember the words in the big book, we stop fighting everyone and everything. I know for me, I have said to myself, how many times do I have to do this? Do I have to let someone be right? And then I just laugh, because I do it until I don't anymore. And the opportunity comes up all the time for me to practice not being right. And that's, I never got that before in my many years of working the program, having to do it my way, until I realized, you know, how selfish, how many times do I have to do this before? When do I get to be right? So I laugh, and I think of the nightmare becomes humorous. It does, because I've had the spiritual awakening that I don't have to be right. I don't have to be right. I just lean into God, keep my own side of the street clean, and help others. So thanks for letting me share today. So grateful. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A., and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just a really beautiful experience. If you happen to be new, please stick around, because in a few moments we're going to be offering newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers if they have never done that in the past. And we're going to also allow sponsors a chance to announce their names and numbers, so please stick around. Now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will, Dawn. Thank you so much. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.